This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Ben Weinheimer. Ben is president and CEO for Texas Cattle Feeders Association, headquartered in Amarillo. We'll look back at 2022, look ahead to 2023, talk about the cattle contract library and maybe traceability. That on the way. First off, USDA economist Megan Schweitzer on food price inflation.
Food prices do often show either very little growth or even sometimes declines in November as retailers discount items at the store as consumers come in to do their holiday shopping. But even with that, this month's data are part of a larger downward trend that's showing that price growth is slowing.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Ben Weinheimer. Ben is president and CEO, Texas Cattle Feeders Association. For those who don't know your background, kind of the elevator speech, where you grew up and how you ended up at TCFA.
Yes, sir. Happy to. Well, born and raised in the Texas Panhandle, farming and ranching east of Amarillo and Carson County predominantly. Spent a few years at then going to school at West Texas A&M. Noticed that I had a pretty good interest for all things on the ag and science and math side of the equation. So went to Texas A&M, got a degree in ag engineering, and came back to the Texas Panhandle really with every intention of getting back involved in the family farming and ranching operation. And lo and behold, wasn't back that long in the mid-90s, had a phone call inquiring as to whether or not I'd be interested in taking a position with the TCFA to help on some regulatory and environmental issues. And so opted to explore that opportunity, and that was in July of 95. Started as regulatory manager here, moved into the vice president position a number of years ago, and then the first of 2022 took on the role of president and CEO.
That's a great way to segue into what we're going to tee up here, and that's kind of a recap of 2022, but you're coming off of an annual meeting just a couple of months ago, so let's talk about that, and then let's wind into how you'd recap 22.
Well, we had a really good convention held it at the Omni in Frisco here in late October. Great lineup of speakers. Meeting was very well attended. I think as we've heard a lot of times, folks just glad to get back together and enjoy some friendship and camaraderie with their fellow cattle feeders and other folks in the industry. We heard a lot of good things at the convention. You know, our lineup of speakers, Colin Woodall, Randy Block, Pippa Malgram, Emmett Smith, keynoted the day, late in the day on Monday of our convention. And, you know, one of the things about, as you look at tying that into the conversation around recap in 2022 is sort of important from my perspective, but highlight up many of the positives that we've observed here throughout the year. You know, we have really strong beef demand here in the U.S. and globally. Our exports continue to be very strong. We've seen the supply chain stabilize, if you will, as things have kind of equalized amongst the cattle feeders and the packers on supply chain issues and, you know, harvest capacity and so forth. The cattle markets at the same time, you know, have been on a improving path throughout the year, and you know, all those things really kind of put the wrap on a year where we have a lot of good things that have happened, and many things, a lot of things to be very thankful for. Of course, we can obviously talk about the other side of that, which are some of the challenges that we've dealt with. But those highlighting and starting off with the positive things happening in the cattle feeding industry, you know, really helps with our attitudes and our outlook going forward.
Well, and if you could have that crystal ball, you'd already know what to prepare for when it comes to 23. But as you start looking down the road, Are you able to see any signs? Maybe not see a clear picture at this point, but what do the signs seem to be pointing towards as we look at 23?
Yeah, 23, you know, we're going to kind of be living, I guess, with the effects really now more so in 23 as a result of the drought that the ranchers have been dealing with in 21 and 22. You know, that's obviously taking cattle numbers the wrong direction when we actually have a huge opportunity to meet a growing demand for beef. We're just not going to have the cattle and the beef to supply. So, you know, we'll see these reduced cattle numbers going forward. We'll see that decline in per capita beef consumption, not because of the lack of demand, but simply because of our inability to supply it. So that's, you know, that's maybe a bit frustrating, I think, for all of us who would like to see, obviously, consumers enjoy more beef and more consumers adding to that consumer base that's enjoying beef. But the flip side of that is, of course, as those cattle numbers tighten up and that demand remains strong, the economic outlook is on a steady incline in terms of a positive trajectory. If you look at the market graphs, and that's really across the cattle feeding sector, you know, the stocker sector and the cow-calf sector. So those will obviously work in our favor going into 2023, and then we'll just have to continue to see what Mother Nature and the good Lord does to us going forward in terms of precipitation and our ability to grow more grass and, you know, rebuild this herd as the opportunity presents itself, because the market signal sure enough is going to be there to rebuild the herd as soon as the grass is available.
You mentioned market signals, and I think maybe that ties into something else I wanted to ask you about, and that's the cattle contract library. And when we think of the word library, we're thinking about things from a historical perspective. What can you tell us about the state of the cattle contract library as we start moving into the new year?
Earlier this year, Congress in the Consolidated Appropriations Act that they passed in March of 2022, it included $1 million in initial funding for USDA to stand up a pilot program for this cattle contract library, which, you know, seems fairly self-explanatory in its description, and really it is. It's intended to be a library where all the major packers submit elements of their contracts that they have with the cattle feeders throughout the U.S. And then it's maybe, you know, aggregated or put into a dashboard format that allows, you know, cattle producers and packers, or anyone, quite honestly, in some publicly available reports that will be available, to kind of look at the various elements of contracts and how contracts are priced. So what's used to determine the base price in these contracts, what are the premiums and discounts, you know, what are some other terms and conditions that may exist between packers and feeders within these contracts. And it's also intended to include written and verbal contracts. So not yet sure what that's going to look like, because I think, as all your listeners know well, there's a tremendous number of cattle that still trade on a handshake and a verbal commitment. And that's almost regardless of which, you know, cattle transaction you're looking at, from all the way from the cow-calf sector on through to the packer. So some work there for USDA to complete in terms of how they'll deal with those verbal contracts or verbal commitments and transition those into your reporting elements within this library. Now, that said, we've TCFA, we kind of have a two-part policy on the cattle contract library. We're supportive of this pilot program in an effort to kind of see what is it that USDA Livestock Market News Division could stand up that would, you know, be useful and informative, that it would provide cattle feeders hopefully a leg up and provide us more information, and not have the unintended consequence of doing the opposite, where it would potentially, you know, create more transparency across the packers and their ability to kind of decide, you know, back out their own information and perhaps decipher a little bit more about what their competitors are doing, that again could potentially have the unintended consequences of them, you know, maintaining some additional leverage over cattle feeders in their contracting arrangement. So yet to be determined, I guess, if, you know, who's actually going to benefit the most from this type of information. But for the time being, that's the first kind of first tier, first part of our policy is to, you know, to support the pilot program. We've engaged in USDA's listening sessions. We provided them some constructive input on what we think they should do and not do in this library. And the idea was that this, as the word describes, pilot program, that it would be a test or a trial and done on a voluntary basis. So that's where we kind of spent the first, say, you know, 6 months of this conversation from March through August and September. Now, in that window of time here in the early fall, USDA felt like they weren't going to get all of the information just exactly as they wanted it from the packers who would be required to submit it. So here, just last week, USDA changed their direction, and instead of a voluntary pilot program, they published a final mandatory rule that will require the packers to submit all aspects of all contractual information that may exist. So that's that's definitely a change in the approach and the mechanism and the administrative process that we had hoped USDA was going to continue to go down. That definitely gives us a little bit of pause. Anytime we see, you know, a regulatory agency start out in a kind of a voluntary fashion and then somewhat quickly transition to a mandatory final rule. We're continuing to work through now what does this do to the original intent of the library. We're studying this final rule and we'll engage with USDA here over the next few weeks and into 2023 to still provide some constructive input and feedback, again, just to make sure that, you know, if we're going to put all this information out there, that it's meaning the full intention of helping the cattle feeders be more informed about the market and marketing arrangements. Yet to be determined, obviously, in terms of that, as to whether or not that'll be the case, but something that we're going to stay closely tuned into here over the course of the next several weeks and months.
Ben Weinheimer, President and CEO of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, on today's Agribusiness Report.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness, and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest again today, Ben Weinheimer, Texas Cattle Feeders. Are you looking for a new opportunity? The King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management's Ranch Manager Job Board is open, with jobs posted from Texas, Idaho, New Mexico, Nebraska, Colorado, New York, Montana, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Oregon, Florida, even Mexico. Or are you looking for someone to manage a ranch? Find out more at the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management online, krirm.com.
4%. It sounds like a small number, but over hundreds or thousands of acres, 4% can make the difference between profit and loss. Momentum by Fendt is the only planter that helps reduce soil compaction, protect spacing, and conserve seed, ensuring you'll manage every row and every acre with momentum. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Texas cattle feeders online, tcfa.org.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The news from USDA's December corn production outlooks is tightening world corn supplies due to lower production forecast for several former Soviet Union states.
That whole Black Sea region, that primarily reflects the fact that harvest season has been extremely wet, unfavorable conditions. Harvest progress has been extremely slow. So a lot of that corn is going to remain in the field unharvested, likely until the spring.
World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jack Kadowski says that results in lower global ending stocks.
In terms of the U.S. balance sheet, the only change we made this month was to our export forecast. Based on slow pace, we reduced our export forecast by 75 million bushels, and that directly increases ending stocks by the same amount.
The season-ending average price for corn was lowered 10 cents from the previous month, now at $6.70 a bushel. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.